I'm going to ask you to turn to Luke's gospel. And Luke chapter 15. Now, Dr. Schofield, and I would not want to necessarily disagree with such an esteemed expert, but I'm going to. Dr. Schofield believed that there were three parables in this chapter. I believe there's one parable. Let's pray. Father, I thank you now for the opportunity we have to look into your word. I pray that you would use it deeply in each and every heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 15. In verses 1 to 3, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this, not these, this parable, singular, unto them, saying. So what we have in the rest of chapter 15 is one parable. It's this parable, not these parables. So the first thing he talks about in verse 4, he says, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? Do you realize the first illustration is a good shepherd? But this good shepherd doesn't leave the sheep safely in the fold. How many times I've heard that hymn, the 99 lay safely in the fold. No, they didn't. He left them. He turned his back on them. He deserted them in the desert. The 99, remember the context. Jesus is talking about why he is going after lost sinners. When the Pharisees were criticizing him, the 99 are Pharisees who didn't think they needed salvation. They thought they were good enough to get to heaven on their own. They were like Mike McCubbins was before he got saved. I thought my own goodness, my own works, everything that I could do for God would deserve, I deserve to get to heaven. No, I didn't. I deserve to go to hell forever and ever. And the good shepherd left the 99. He left them in a hot place in the desert where there are animals that would prey upon them, where there is nothing to eat. He left them in that condition and he went after the sheep that knew it had gone astray. You know, if I had a chance, I'd love to preach at this point through Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Amen? What a tremendous psalm. Do you realize how much Jewish culture is in there? He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. The Jewish person doesn't stand and eat. He doesn't sit and eat. He lies down to eat. He's a free man. The slave had to stand and eat. The only time that Passover was ever eaten standing up was in Egypt while they were still slaves. He said, with your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, it's the Lord's Passover. Well, after that, Jewish people lie down. And if you're too lazy to lay down, you say, no, I'm too accustomed to eating like a North American, you put a pillow under your left elbow and you put it on the table to show that in your heart you're lying down. Check it out. you'll find out that I'm right. Of course I'm right, because I'm Jewish and I know that. But here you have the picture of sheep. And of course, you know that Jesus said in John 10, I am the good shepherd. So it's not hard for us to identify the shepherd. The shepherd in this passage is the Son of God. And all we like sheep have gone astray. Isaiah 53:6. The sheep that went astray is you and I. Amen? Amen? We are the ones that went astray. And the Lord Jesus Christ here is seen as the seeking shepherd. So the first image that we're presented in this passage is one of the shepherd seeking after the lost sheep. We're the lost sheep. And you might ask, why does the sheep go astray? I used to ask that when I was a kid, and I'd see these sheep that would go out into the highway and get run over, and the rest of the sheep would come out there and they'd be looking around at the sheep that was dead on the highway. And another truck would come along and run over them. And I'd say, what's the matter with them? What's the matter with them? It's their nature. The nature that we have, that sinful nature, that lost nature that we have, drags us away. We are compelled by our nature to go astray. We, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned every one of us to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So we first have the seeking shepherd. Next, I notice that it says in verse 5, and when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Wow. If you've ever had a dog, and my youngest daughter, she loves to have a dog. And even now that she's over 40, she still has dogs. Me, I think it's another mouth to feed. It's hard enough to take care of my wife, much less a dog, too. But somebody stole her dog one day. Some gang members. They came by her house and they opened her backyard fence, a gate, and they went in and took her dog and tied him up and took him to a house a few blocks away. And she was crying and everything, and I said, let's go find the dog. So I went up and I saw the dog all tied up in front of this house and with a muzzle around his nose and mouth and all. And I untied him and I said, come on, let's go home. And the dog followed me. That's a dog, right? You can go, come on, let's go. And the dog will follow you, but not a sheep. Jesus says the shepherd puts the sheep on his shoulders. You see, even after I get saved, Jesus Christ doesn't trust me to keep myself saved. He carries me. He's the one that set himself in charge of my security, of my salvation. And he carries me not back to the fold, not back to the desert, not back to the 99. It says he carried him home. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I will come again and receive you unto myself. You see, my Lord doesn't just say, okay, Michael, come on up here. Come on, come on, come on. No. He's going to carry me home. What a great assurance it is. My salvation is not dependent on me. It's dependent on my Lord. He did everything that needed to be done to save Mike McCubbins. And he's going to make sure that I'm saved. He's not going to leave me here. He's not going to say, well, I raptured everybody but Mike McCubbins. You know, the guy was a little loony. He was Jewish. You know, I mean, let's leave him behind. No. My Savior has me on his shoulders. The same shoulders that Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 says that he bears the weight of the entire universe. He carries it. He carries me. He was big enough that his word was so powerful that it created an entire universe. And that same word was powerful enough to save my soul. No, my Savior is the good shepherd here. The 90 and 9, they didn't really care about salvation. They thought they were good enough. They deserved to go to heaven. They had a rude awakening one day when they found out no one is good enough. My salvation, I love that hymn. My hope is built on nothing less. And can I add, and nothing more than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, and all other ground is sinking sand. It may not be scripture, but it's built upon scriptural truth. Yes, my friend, the first presentation here is that of a lost sheep and a seeking shepherd. The next part, and I'm skipping a lot of the chapter because I don't have time. The next part is verse 8, Luke 15, 8. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? Well, now, she lost a denarii. How much is that worth? It's worth 300 denarii. The coin that she lost is worth 300 denarii, or 300 days' wages. Do you realize how much 300 days' wages is? It's 1 year's salary. Okay? She had 1 year's salary, 300 days' wages. You say, well, hold it, there are 365 days in a year. But there are 52 Sabbaths. Amen? That this Jewish woman couldn't have worked 52 Sabbaths. And there are over 50 high holy days, because like Passover is 8 days, and you're not allowed to work on Passover, nor 8 days afterward, and the end of the days of unleavened bread. And the same thing is true with the days of awe. And I could go through all of that and explain to you, but when you're all done with a whole year, you have 300 days that you can actually work and earn money. So she had 10 drachma, which are each worth 300 denarii, and she lost one of them. Let me just ask you, if you lost a year's wages, would you look for it? She lights a light. She sweeps the house. I can picture my mother. Passover time. Those of you that don't immediately have this image, let me draw an image for you. At Passover, the Jewish mother, the lady of the house, her job is to remove all the leaven. Okay? She's commanded in the Bible to sweep her house, to even say that if there be any leaven, let it be as the dust of the floor. Okay? She gets down with a small brush broom like that. It's not a long broom. She doesn't turn on the lights. She lights a candle and she gets down close to the floor and she sweeps every square inch because she has to carefully remove every bit of leaven from her house. That's the illustration here. Now, Jesus knew that illustration very well. He would have seen all these Jewish women at Passover time doing this. I have seen it throughout my life. And you see that Jewish woman cleaning. She's looking for something that is very precious. But it's also dead. Unlike the sheep, it can't be out there going, baa, baa, and hopes that the shepherd will hear where it is. No, uh-uh. That coin just lays there. We don't know where it is hidden. Could be under the sofa. Maybe it rolled into a crack. But she has an objective of finding something that is dead and yet is very precious to her. We are the ones that were dead in trespasses and sins. We're the ones that were lost. And can I point out, the coin didn't jump out of its place and just roll into that crack. It didn't do that all by itself. Somebody else caused that coin to be lost. And I could say, what blame do I have as a sinner that I'm lost and a sinner when it was Adam's fault? Somebody else through their... I keep trying to think of how you say the word descuido in English. Sorry, but my brain is working in Spanish right now. Stop! It's lack of care, I'll say. Somebody didn't take care of what they were trying to take care of. That coin didn't lose itself, but it's still lost. Unlike the sheep that went astray because of its nature, the coin is dead. It has no life. It's dead when it was created. Do you realize that? And when I was born, I was already born in trespasses and sins. I was already a sinner and lost from the day that I was born. And it took the work of this Jewish woman who came in and swept the house and turned on the light to find me. So who does the woman represent? Well, who does the job of sanctification? That's cleaning the house. And illumination, that's turning on the light. Who does that work? Because that's who's represented there. And that's the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not saying, please don't misunderstand me, I'm not saying that the Holy Spirit is a woman. But the Son of God was represented as a shepherd, the Holy Spirit as a woman. Okay? Then we come to the third person. the third part of this parable. And excuse me for racing through it very quickly. Okay? But I want to finish on time, or else the pastor will come up here and kick me off the platform. Here you have it. In verse 11, and he said, a certain man had two sons. Okay, can you tell me what a man is called that has two sons? Father. We had God the Son as a shepherd. We have God the Holy Spirit as a woman who sweeps the house and turns on the light. Now we have God the Father. Can I point out something? We went from 100 sheep to 10 drachma. It's interesting to me. People will say to me, why do you bother going door to door when so many people just slam the door in your face in L.A.? Well, my Savior's looking for that one out of 100. So I keep on. Because even if I only win one, that's one sheep that is not going to hell anymore. What is the maximum penetration that almost any area in the world has? 1 out of 10 get saved. That's the maximum. But now a man has two sons. One of them is a Pharisee, and the other is just plain lost. I was that lost son. This lost son. And I'm going to sum up what the passage says. You can read it on your own. This lost son. He says, give me the portion that falls to me. So as the Bible says, his father divided unto them, plural, the Pharisee and the sinful son. He divided unto them their inheritance. Not many days afterward, the younger son said that he was going to go into a far country. Do you know how hard it is to sin when your mom and dad are watching you? Everybody wants to get away from dad. Everybody wants to go as far away as they can. So he goes into a far province, long ways away, where his dad can't see him. His older brother, by the way, when he comes back, he says he wasted all your money on harlots. Let me just tell you what kind of a life this guy was leading. He was spending money like crazy. They call him the prodigal son. He wasn't the prodigal son. His father says, this my son was lost and is found. He was the lost son. He knew he was lost. He went down there and there's booze and there's drugs and there's fast women and his money fast goes away. Do you know, I'm so glad that God the Father keeps his eye on us. When the Bible describes this young man, it says that when he returned home, his father was looking for him. The searching father. We have the searching shepherd, the searching woman, the Holy Spirit. Now the searching Father, God the Father. And God the Father brings circumstances to bear. As soon as his money runs out, what happened to all his friends? Do you know that in this world, there are three things that people put a price on? Good looks, like Mike McCubbins. Intelligence, like Einstein. Or that you have money that you inherited, right? He inherited money. We don't know if he was good looking, if he was smart. Obviously, he wasn't smart enough, because he spent all his money. And I always say, if you don't have good looks, money, or super intelligence, nobody likes you except God. Okay? If, you know, my dad would say, he's as ugly as a mud wall. I never really appreciated that till I lived in a house in Paraguay with a mud wall. Okay? And boy, that is ugly. Ugly, poor, and retarded, and nobody cares for you. But God does. Amen? God the Father was seeking his lost son. So he says, okay, now let me just set this in motion. Your money is about ready to run out, and I'm creating a famine. And there's no food. And it says that he still had his health. So I can work. When I was in seminary, one of the jobs that I got was on a nearby farm feeding swine. Here's a Jewish boy feeding swine. Okay? Now, just understand, this is a Jewish boy in Luke 15, and he's feeding swine. This, you can't get any lower than this. Okay? I learned an awful lot about human nature feeding pigs. I carry these buckets of feed out there. They had a trough. And there were some of the pigs that were little, you know, and they'd run up and they'd jump into the trough, and I'd try to get the food in there, and they were trying to eat it as fast as they could. But the big pigs, they came a lot slower. But when they got there, they threw the little pigs out and they ate all the food by themselves. And I said, isn't that just like we are? Man, did God ever use that in my life? My wife and I would sit down at the table. We had four kids. We still have four kids. We had five. Our firstborn died. But we'd sit around the table, all six of us, and I would see like four steaks. Okay? And I'd say, okay, let's pray. And I grabbed my fork. And Lord, bless this food. Amen! And I put my fork in there and make sure that I got the biggest steak. After all, I'm the biggest guy at the table. And God brought back to memory about those pigs. All I needed to do was go oink, oink, oink. And my wife, I wish she could have been here with us, but I wouldn't be able to tell you the truth about myself if she were here. Because she'd be going, Michael, you embarrassed me. So don't tell her that I told you. But she'd take the remaining three steaks and she'd cut them into pieces and she'd give them to the kids, and then she'd take a little teeny piece for herself. That's why she's still thin. And one day, it just dawned on me. How many times do I have to feed pigs before you're going to learn not to be a pig. Okay? I had to learn a lesson. But more than that, this Jewish boy, it says, he fain would have filled his belly with the husks that the pigs did eat, and no one gave unto him. Othos in Greek, no one. Othos. It means no one. Okay? It means that the pigs wouldn't share with him. He fed the pigs, and he wanted to eat what they were eating, even though this wasn't food for human consumption. I was telling in the vehicle on the way here, at 2:30 in the morning, I had low blood sugar. And I didn't know what to do. I was shaking real hard, and I knew I needed to get something that would raise my blood sugar back up a little bit to normal range. And so I went into the kitchen, and I saw something that said peanut, something like peanut sue or something, I forget. And so I grabbed one of those bars, and I stuck it in my mouth, and I took a bite. Man, was that awful. And I thought, what in the world have I taken a bite of? And I went ahead and swallowed it, but I didn't try anymore. It tasted like I was eating ground up peanut shells. And so when the pastor got up, I said, I was eating this, and I said, it really tastes awful. He said, yeah, that's bird feed. So I understand how this young man felt. He fain would have filled his belly with the husks that the pigs did eat, but even they wouldn't share with him. And finally, it says he came to himself. You ever come to yourself? I don't know how you do that, really. People will tell me, I'm trying to find myself. Well, if you look in your shoes, you'll probably find yourself. I don't understand this. I want to find myself. And I don't fully understand how he came to himself. But I understand what it means. It means he finally woke up one day and he wasn't woke. Okay? He looked at himself and he said, what am I doing here? In my father's house, even the servants eat better than I do. I will go to my father and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And so he arose and he went. Now let me conclude by telling you what the father did. He got there and he started to say that, but his father didn't let him. His father said, bring forth shoes for his feet. He had no shoes on his feet. Bring forth the best robe and put it on him. And put the ring on his hand. He came naked to the Father. Nothing that he could offer. And God clothed him with his righteousness. And he put the ring on his hand because he's now a son of the King. And he put shoes on his feet. He was shod with the preparation of the gospel. And then he said, bring forth the fatted calf and kill it. You see, the father had to give the very best that he had. It cost him the life, blood of my Savior, to save this boy that went astray. All we like sheep have gone astray, and our Lord Jesus Christ came and sought us. Like that coin we were valuable enough to God that he was willing to give his own blood for us. And like a lost son, the Father sought us. I had a lady in Paraguay. How much time do I have? I'm already 5 minutes over time. Let me just tell you, I had a lady in Paraguay that one day a deacon and I were talking in front of his house. And she walked by and she's going, "My daughter, my daughter." And she's just weeping. And I said, "What's the matter with your daughter?" And she says, "I went to sleep. And when I woke up, my daughter is gone." And I said, "How old is your daughter?" "A year old." Okay, she didn't wander off by herself. And I said, "We'll help you." And we started up and down the street till we found a neighbor who had gone in and taken her daughter. And I said, "You've got to give her her daughter back. It's not your daughter." She said, "I know, but this woman is a prostitute and she'll do anything to have a high on drugs. And she's been asleep for 3 days and her baby wasn't fed. And she just let the baby cry for 3 days until I went in and fed the baby." And I said, "It's still not your baby." But the woman fell on her knees. And she said, "It's all true. Can nobody help me?" And I said to the deacon and his wife, "Do you folks want to take her in?" They said, "Yes." We put her in their home. They taught her to be a seamstress. And over the next month, we led her to the Lord. And the day that I baptized her, after I had asked her about her faith in Christ and so forth, she said, "Can I say something else?" I said, "Certainly." She said, "My daughter was lost. And I couldn't find her. And we went searching, and I was crying." She said, "But all the time, I didn't realize that I was the one that was lost. And God the Father was looking for me. And it took that to finally get me to come to faith in Christ." Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would use your word very deeply in each and every heart now. Use it, I pray, that it might be a blessing to each and every one of your children and a motive to us to let the Lord, the Good Shepherd, the Holy Spirit, and yourself to seek the lost through us. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.